never the same. Jesus, omnipotent reigns. Jesus, let earth proclaim that all is forgiven in Jesus' name. Here we go.
In Jesus' name.
Every stronghold is broken. Things are possible, yes, it's possible in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the enemy is scattered.
In Jesus' name,
this oppression must
cease. In
Jesus' name, where two or three have gathered, God is with us. In
rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministries Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Wonderful Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us in reading our proclamation, scripture, and prayer is our very own sister, Deaconess Loretta Welch. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners. Good morning, my Running for Christ Ministry family. Good morning, good morning. Why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Amen. Our scripture for today, righteousness through faith, Romans 3:19-26. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we became conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, give us thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you so much deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Loretta Welch, for being with us this morning, and we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day, you and
thank
Sir
you.
Oliver.
All right.
Yeah.
You. Okay. You're welcome. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Thank you. Amen. Every time I hear that song, I think about the coolest man in our church. It's Deacon Oliver Welch. Amen. He always does his part. Amen. Amen. My wife was singing his part as the song was playing. That made me think about him. Amen. God bless. It's a wonderful Sunday morning. And guess what, y'all? A lot of people try to take praise that belonged to God, but I'm just trying to tell you that every praise, whoever God used to bless somebody, amen, every praise still belongs to him.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every word of worship
with one accord. songs of praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
We lift our hands.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimonies. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. You always take us there, and we appreciate you. Thank you. All right. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Celebrating Black History. And this morning we have our very own Sarah Tate McClendon to share a great known history fact. Take it away, Sarah.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I found a small segment from the Harvard Gazette. The title is How the Black Church Saved America. And it's not the whole entire article, but I definitely encourage you to look it up because it was very interesting. The Black Church is a culture and cauldron that Black people created to combat a system designed to crush their spirit. Collectively and with an enormous effort, they refused to allow that to happen. And the culture they created was sublime, awesome, majestic, lofty, glorious, and at all points subversive of the larger culture of enslavement that sought to destroy their humanity. The miracle of African-American survival can be traced directly to the miraculous ways that our ancestors reinvented the religion that their quote-unquote masters thought would leave them subservient. Rather, that religion enabled them and their descendants to learn, to grow, to develop, to interpret, and to reinvent the world in which they were trapped. It enabled them to bide their time, ultimately time for them to fight their own freedom and for us to continue the fight for ours. It also gave them the moral authority to turn the mirror of religion back on their masters and to indent the nation for its original sin for allowing their enslavement to build up that quote-unquote city upon a hill. In exposing the hypocrisy at the heart of their quote-unquote Christian country, they exhorted succeeding generations to close the yawning gap between America's founding ideals and the reality that had been forced to endure. Who were these people? As the late Reverend Joseph Lowry put it, I don't know whether the faith produced them or if they produced the faith, but they belong to each other. That's my Black History fact. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, for that great history fact. We appreciate you. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. All right, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Rebecca Johnson, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own Sister Rebecca Johnson. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Hey, this song right here is not real complicated. Might not even shout off this one or bob your head back and forth or nothing like that, you know. Because it's not for everybody. It's just for those who might be going through it and need to be encouraged.
It's a heavy heart. You have tried and tried. You wear a smile when you hurt deep inside.
Feels like it's over. Everything seems to be going wrong. And your heart is broken in two. No, your heart is broken in many different pieces. I'm here to tell you, my friend, I know what it feels like. Yeah, I know what it feels like.
Pain and all that you've gone through.
He understands.
He feels your
hurt.
Sing it, friend.
He's here to put his arms around you.
So reach out through your tears.
So reach out through your tears.
You gotta hold the Savior close.
And hold on to him tight.
Remember, faith is the
faith
key.
Faith is the key, yeah.
So my friend, don't give up the fight.
Don't give up the fight. Say it, James.
Listen, so you made the same mistake again. But this time it feels like you won't recover. And the pain cuts like a knife. And it keeps getting deeper and deeper, but I need you to tell your brother, say, tell your sister regardless of what they're going through. Encourage somebody and say, it's not over despite the situation. Come on, tell them, Fred.
When gone as far as you can, you just stand, that's what you do, yeah. And when you don't think that you can, don't let nobody tell you you can. Yes, you can, keep the faith, yes, you
honor to be given an opportunity to come to the throne and pray, to put our concerns on the altar and leave them there as we cast our cares on him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, giver of life, thank you that you woke us up again. All praises be to you, O God, for your kindness and mercy, for your grace and eternal love. Thank you that you are our Savior and healer. Thank you that you see us and know each and every one of our struggles. Thank you for your perfect wisdom to know exactly what we need to grow and develop. Thank you for your persistence in gathering us and loving us even as we rejected you. Thank you for your long suffering. Even while we rebel and use our freedom to choose wrong, we honor you for loving us so much that you gave your only son, Jesus, to be abused for our sins, to make a way for us to have a relationship with you. We acknowledge that we make wrong choices, and yet you still show us love. We confess that we all fall short, that none of us are worthy of the gifts you have provided for us. Forgive us for not dedicating the appropriate amount of our time, talent, and treasure to you. We thank you that you are not surprised by our faults and that you remember that our flesh is weak and made of dust. We confess that some of us are spiritual babies, even though we have been saved for many years.
thank you that we can come boldly to your throne to ask for even more when we have already received so much. We have already prayed about it, and we will persist in praying. And we thank you, Father, for the work you are already doing for those people in need in Turkey, in Syria, in Russia, in the Ukraine, and here in the U.S., where the rich ignore the poor, just like in ancient times. We ask that you deliver each person in need in every crevice of the earth, that people find healing as they make their way to you. We ask that you soften every government and family leader's hearts all over the world and cause them to make wise decisions despite evil intentions. We ask that you provide complete healing for those at Michigan State University where another tragedy has torn families and emotions. We ask that you heal each one of those in our own physical and spiritual families that are hurting, sick, abused, oppressed, brokenhearted, bereaved, grieving, depressed, or lost. We ask you, Lord, to give us the victory over every kind of poverty, victory for those that are poor in health, those that are poor in finances, and those poor in spirit. We ask that you give us each eyes to see our blessings clearly and also see how we can live a life that is pleasing to you. We ask that you continue to create situations for each of us that will make us move in a direction that pleases you, Lord. We ask that you cause every person who hears this radio broadcast to receive a revelation and a new understanding of you. Even those that cannot hear, Lord, we ask that you give them a revelation of you that requires no sound. We ask that you cause each of us to invite you to write the word on the tablets of our hearts. Give us each a double portion of faith and the unction to pray on behalf of those who are unable to come to you. We ask that you make each of us dissatisfied with spiritual milk and cause us to crave spiritual meat and vegetables. Dear Lord, thank you that you hear and answer our prayers. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name with praise and thanksgiving. Amen.
You're with me, Lord. It's all that I need, Lord. I need to feel your presence. Need to know that you're with me, Lord. And when
our hearts are overwhelmed,
I promise to look to
are here. Yes. You are here. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Rebecca Johnson, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have a beautiful day. Thank you. Excellent service. And so far, we are having a great time this morning with more to come. I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen? Everyone have a beautiful day. Okay, time for the preached word. A message from God. The best part. Icing on the cake. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own sister deaconess, Dr. June Rogers. Let us prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she come in her own unique way with introductions. Amen.
You know, as I get older, I come to realize that I can't do this on my own. After all the hard knocks, the bumps and the bruises, I just always seem to end up right back here.
All of you in every way is my very earnest plea. And in your hands, I place my life. It's the ultimate security. With my hands upraised, like a child, I reach out to you. All I have to say is, need, yes I do, every day of my life.
I tried it on my own and now I know. Bye.
It on my own. You were anything like me, I found myself swaying on that song. I once heard a praise and worship leader say that worship comes in on the wings of praise. And so we have definitely been worshiping the Lord this morning. And as I indicated, we started out with praise and those songs. Wow, I was swaying just now, but I was dancing on those songs that Pastor started the service with. And I just can't get out of my head that Sheila was over there singing. I think Pastor O was that Oliver's part in the song. So that is just the image that really is uplifting. I was dancing, and Ray was singing Oliver's part of that particular song. But anyway, welcome, everyone. Good morning. On behalf of the entire Runner for Christ ministry family, consistent with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome, everyone, as we are blessed to participate in this live broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We are not in a physical building, but you know what? We're having church right now up in here, wherever you happen to be. Pastor O is about to continue in his series on the book of 1 Corinthians. This will be part 3, and he's asked me to read some passages from chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. I will be reading verses 10 to 15. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, "Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word." I so love how the Lord not only captures our attention with things we can relate to, but also gives us such vivid illustrations. I know all of you listening have seen something being burned. Fire is unforgivable in its ability to destroy, but thankfully, God is completely forgiving. I suspect we're about to hear from Pastor O, one of his famous quotes, where he asks if we want to just barely make it into heaven in a cloud of smoke. Now I know where he got that idea from. Well, today, I think I'm going to have to consider his role as fire safety inspector. He's here as God's representative to show us how to God-proof the work we do for the Lord so it withstands the fire on Judgment Day. That middle name of Marshall really fits. Fire Marshal, Pastor O, break it down for us.
Lord have mercy, Marshall. You know, amen. How many times have I heard that name in life? I try to hide it the best I can, but it done got out there. Thanks, Kathy. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, June. I appreciate, amen, getting me ready for this morning. Got a whole lot of work to do and kind of scared to death, but thank you. You know, between my wife and yourself, I'm ready to go. Amen. So tell Ray, I said, what's up? And I can't wait to hear him sing. Well, he can sing. You know, it's me who can't sing. But anyway, tell him I said, hey.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in. Let's pray. Yes. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we do praise your holy name. And Heavenly Father, you know the situation I'm in right now, and I know that you already fixed it. You've been talked to about me by my wife and, amen, even from me. So, Lord, go ahead and do what you got to do. Say what you want to say through me. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray that you speak to Jesus, as you said in John 16. And, Jesus, I pray that you speak to the Holy Spirit. And, Holy Spirit, go ahead and talk through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear what you have to say today. Lord, bless my heart so it receives what you have to give today. I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts are not like yours, but I'm here today to change the way I think to the way you think so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. Amen. Praise God. Amen. As you heard Deaconess June Rogers say, we're continuing our work that we're doing here on the book of Corinthians. We will be preaching through the whole book, so chapter by chapter, verse by verse, we'll tear it apart and see what the Lord is trying to say to us. What we found out and what we already know, and I want to help you to not just hear sermons, but remember this book. You know, if the Lord can get this head to memorize all 16 chapters of this book, I know you have not done to your memory what I did to mine back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. So, amen. God can put it in your head, and then the Holy Spirit can bring it back to you. So I'm going to go back to chapter 1 and just tell you what that's about. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, okay, that he planted in A.D. 50. It's now A.D. 55, and he's heard some reports that they kind of off the hook. And so he's writing to them. He gives thanks to God for them, and he says, he lets us know that this is a church. This is not a demoniac meeting place for people who think they're Christians, but this is a church. They kind of wavered. They kind of off the hook. Their chain broke, but this is a church. These are people who have been in the body of Christ for 5 years, but some disturbing news has come to Paul's ears from a lady named Chloe. She went and spoke to Paul and told him that those folks down there might need a word from you. I know you spent a year and a half with them in the beginning. I know you spent a long time with them, but something has gone wrong. Somehow they're not getting it. And I think you need to hear these things so you can write them a letter. And so that's what Paul is doing. And the big problem they are having is spiritual immaturity. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be spiritually immature. Grow up. Amen. Jesus did not look. He got his disciples. They walked with him for 3 years. And you know what he was working on? Their spiritual immaturity. He wanted them to be built up, to be mature. And we'll get to that later. Amen. So that they could, the gospel, in a world where Satan is running everything. Amen. You know, Christians, we keep praying for God to fix this, but I keep reading Matthew, and Jesus keep telling me it's going to get tore up. But we keep praying for him to fix our government. Okay, fix everything, Jesus. Everything broke. The weather even broke. Fix that. I think we've forgotten that he intends to take us to heaven. I'm going to let that sit there and let you think about that for a second. Okay, you got it? He ain't trying to fix this up. The Lord is trying to take out of this world a people for himself. That's what he's doing. And so Paul is writing to these people who have gotten saved, but they're pretty much the same. Okay? They have not matured. And how does he know this? Because they have divisions. You see how quickly Satan will move in to divide and conquer? He'll move into your personal life, divide that all up, and conquer you. And ain't nobody but you. He'll move into your family life, divide that all up, and conquer it. Now your family's all tore up. And then this little tore-up family comes to church, and now he done brought the tore-up family who know how to tear up things in the church, now they tearing the church up. And then the tore-up family go home from the tore-up church that they tore up, and then they go to work and start tearing that up. Amen. So Satan moves in to divide and conquer, and that's what he's doing in this infant church with infant Christians in it. He's dividing. You can take that. Thank you. He's dividing and he's conquering. Because one says, I love Peter. One says, I love Paul. One says, I love Apollos. One says, I love Jesus. But they're divided. One says, God likes smart people. One says, God don't like smart people. God does not. God picks people who will follow him and listen to him. That's who the Lord likes. Most folks are like Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't even do what I say? What's more, you don't even know what I said. These folks have an excuse, somewhat, of being immature. Why? Because they don't have that. We have a 66-book Bible. They didn't. They're the Bible that we're reading. Are you? When people read you the Bible, what are they reading? When Chloe went to read this Bible church in Corinth, well, guess what she went and told Paul? Not a whole lot of good stuff. It's all the stuff we find in the first six chapters. You think it's bad now that they're worshiping human beings instead of Jesus, a man who is Lord of all? And don't let the ones who said they was following Jesus trick you into believing they were following Jesus. No, they were just as bad as the ones who were following Paul. There are folks today who say there's no God the Father, there's no God the Holy Spirit, there's just Jesus. And it's called modalism, and he just switch up. If you want to talk to the Father, Jesus become the Father. If you want to talk to the Holy Ghost, Jesus become the Holy Ghost. The Bible don't teach that. But whack preachers have made and whack Bible teachers have made that stuff up. They cannot prove any of that in the Bible. You know one of the biggest modalists in the Christian church? Bishop T.D. Jakes. Oh, that just shocked you, didn't it? Oh, no, Pastor, say it ain't so. All you got to do is listen. Go read his church what they believe. And instead of calling the Holy Spirit and God the Father and Jesus persons, they manifest themselves. That's modalism. Amen. You'd be surprised how many people believe in modalism. They believe that there's, I told you about that in my one of these theories. Part two, probably. But what Paul is letting them know is that the Holy Spirit is everything. God's wisdom is everything. Human knowledge amounts to absolutely nothing. Okay? So stop worshiping this man, this woman, that woman. Start worshiping Jesus who gave you, who's speaking through, teaching you through, preaching to you through that man, that woman. Fall in love with him. Okay? And not as a modalist who believes Jesus is everything. There is no Father. There is no Son. And all of that stuff about God saying, this is my Son, God just threw his voice. Amen. That's nonsense. The Scripture does not say, and Jesus threw his voice into heaven to make people on earth believe who believe there was a God in heaven think a God was in heaven. The Bible doesn't teach that. Amen. Whack preachers and whack Bible teachers make that stuff up. And then because we don't study the word, What is 2 Timothy? Elder Joseph Stevens preached that thing yesterday. He said 2 Timothy 2:15. He didn't preach that, but it came up in the sermon. Study. Why? To show yourself approved unto who? God. Not Paul, not Peter, not Apollos, but the Lord. Amen? Amen? And so that you're not ashamed. You're a Christian who don't need to be ashamed. Why? Because you've been led astray with some nonsense. Why? Because you don't read for yourself. You're not like the Bereans. You listen to preachers. You listen to Bible teachers. You don't check nothing they say. Okay, you're getting mad at me now. But how many, okay, in front of Jesus. Imagine this, Jesus sitting on the throne in heaven because he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, Jesus is sitting there. Now, let me ask you this question. How many times have you gone home after church and looked at a sermon you heard? And mature Christians, not hungry for the word. We're more hungry for food after church than we are for the word after church. Let me tell you something. When I get through preaching, I can't even eat. Amen. I've been put in situations where I've had to, but I really can't. I couldn't deny the invitation, okay, but I really wasn't hungry. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had filled me up. You remember when they brought Jesus some food and said, here, eat, you need something to eat. Jesus said, I got food to eat that you don't know nothing about. Amen. So Paul tells them in chapter 2 that it's the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. He says, what no unsaved, unconnected person who haven't accepted Christ as their Savior, what they can't see, what they can't hear, what they can't even imagine in their head about the things God have in store for those that love him and he loves, we can, verse 10 say, because we have the Holy Spirit. And he tells us all these things. So if you're in love with Paul, thank God for the Holy Spirit in Paul. If you're in love with Apollos, thank God for the Holy Spirit in Apollos. It is the Holy Spirit who makes the difference. It doesn't matter if the Holy Spirit wants to use a donkey to talk to a fake prophet. That donkey do more speaking for Jesus than most folks do, amen, in a whole week. How many people last week did you talk, not saved people, unsaved people, how many of them you talked to about Jesus? Lord have mercy. This is getting worse. But anyway, those are the behaviors of immature Christians. Amen? Immature Christians don't do no Bible study. Immature Christians don't read no books written by Christians. Immature Christians, they don't go to Bible study. They don't have none in their house. Immature Christians use their Bible as a good luck charm to keep their car from getting stolen or make their coffee table not float away. They don't open it and read it. I know this because I remember when I was spiritually immature, going around saying all kinds of crazy things like ain't no such thing as New Testament tithes and offerings. Spiritually immature. Didn't know better. And so Paul tells them it's the Holy Spirit who's everything. Okay, because Jesus said, I think it's in John 15, except you abide in me, you can't do nothing. But I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to have power. You're going to have the anointing. And with that anointing, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then we come to chapter 3. And now Paul is going to tell us why we're immature and how we get out of it and the dangers of remaining a spiritually immature Christian. It gets dangerous. It's not a good thing to run around. The only reason you go to church is so you'll feel lucky all week. You trust Jesus to take care of all your needs, but Jesus see you doing everything but trusting him to get what you need. You say you love the Lord, right? Here's just a taste of spiritual maturity. Okay? Christians who work somewhere, amen? This is how they work, where they work. Listen to this. This is a spiritually mature Christian here, amen? Employees, Obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eyes on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs. And I'm here to tell you, I got fired 37 times. So Jesus tell the truth when he say anybody who do wrong gonna get repaid for it. I sure did get fired. But I was an immature Christian. I wasn't following Jesus. I was just glad to be saved. I was one of those people where Jesus say, where you at? Over here. I had to holler. I'm so far from Jesus. I had to holler. Over here. I'm over here, Jesus. He said, what? I'm over here. What are you doing over there? I'm like, I don't know. I saw this thing, and I just came over here and followed that. But you're supposed to be following me. You're too easily distracted. Amen. See, we have to hold on. Jesus told us to watch as well as pray. We can't do like the disciples when he said, watch with me for a minute and then go to sleep. Amen. Look at chapter 3. Open up your biblical and go to chapter 3. You're going to need your Bible today, okay, because this is church, and church is for saved people. When we get to 1 Corinthians 14, Paul's going to say a strange thing. He's going to say, if by chance, if perhaps some unsaved person wanders in. So church, this letter is written to the church. It is not written to unsaved people. We just learned in chapter 2 that these things are foolishness to them. We learned in chapter to the Greeks, they look for knowledge. And to the Jews, they're looking for religion. Okay? But this is more than that. This is life, the life of a Christian. So Paul's going to help them with their problem. He's going to help them to start to grow up. So open up your Bibles. Get your Bibles. If you don't have no Bible, please tell us so we can help you get a Bible. What kind of Christian ain't got God's word? Now, what you really want to do is get that Bible off your table and in your heart. God said, I'm going to write my word on their heart. Is it there? You know how he does that? By reading it. That's how you do it. People ask me all the time, how do you memorize this, memorize that? I just read it over and 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 over. You know, the Lord taught me two things, how to keep my mouth shut, which is kind of hard to do, and my mind shut, which is very hard to do. Okay, it's easy to stop talking in your mouth, but when that head get going, boy, I'm telling you, how do you stop that? Amen. So you know what the Lord had me to do? He got me a whole bunch of Bible tapes where to hear what they were saying, you'd have to shut up your mouth and shut up the mouth in your head. Because sometimes when I listen to the Bible, I'll start discussing something they just said. And then the Holy Spirit will say to me, tell me what I just said. I'm still on verse 1 because it hit me, right? And I wanted to go a little bit more with it, but I ain't hear nothing else after verse 1. I missed 20 verses trying to hear verse 1. Amen? But what the Bible, when you get to watching these DVDs, I got the NLT, the NIV, I got the Contemporary English, all of that on DVD. All I got to do is put it in. And one of them, the Lord taught me how to know how many chapters are in the book, and when one ends and one begins. He taught me that with the Gospel of John because they don't name the chapters. And Jesus said, I want you to tell me when all these chapters begin and when they end from 1 to 21. But what he was really doing is teaching me to hide his word in my heart. Why? So I might not sin against him. A lot of Christians sin. Lord, we embarrass the crap out of Jesus on Facebook. I'm on Facebook every day because the Lord had me on there. I'm something like a Facebook pastor. That's what I feel like. Amen. And I see Christians, one minute they praising Jesus. The next minute they cussing somebody out for something they said about them. Infants. Mere infants. Jesus is sure enough not Lord. If Jesus ain't Lord of your mouth, okay, if the words coming out of your mouth, Jesus said, the words I speak, my Father is speaking through me. When you open your mouth and start speaking, does Jesus okay every word coming out? If not, you're just a mere infant. Listen to what Paul says before y'all get mad and cut me off. But he's going to make you mad too. So Anyway, brothers and sisters, in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit as a mature Christian, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. How does Paul know that they are still worldly? Watch how you know. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are they not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? The church has one job, and I'm talking about the local organized congregation of baptized believers, the place where you go to meet with like-minded believers in Christ, and together in that place or outside of a place, y'all worship God. That constitutes a local church. Amen? So let's go and see what the Lord wants to do for us in the local church. So when we go to church on Sunday, we will expect this. And then we'll notice if we're not getting this, then we're not in a Bible-based church. But we're in the wrong church and need to get to the right one as soon as we can. So turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's settle what the local church is supposed to do for you. Amen. Now, you've heard Elder Joseph Stevens preach about the fivefold ministry of the church, right? So we want to take a look at that and understand what. Now, we're not talking about the body of Christ in its totality all over the earth. We're talking about the church where you go with other believers in Christ Jesus to worship every Sunday. And if you don't belong to a church and you don't have no pastor, let me tell you how immature you are, okay? First, before I put a pen in Ephesians, let's go to Jeremiah because I want to give you an Old Testament scripture that says you need to have a pastor, okay? Amen. Go to Jeremiah. Amen. Chapter 3, and I think it's around verse 15. Listen to what the Lord says to these Old Testament folks living under the Old Covenant and these folks living in the dispensation of Old Testament. Amen. We're not Old Testament folks, and we don't live under the Old Covenant. We're under the New Covenant, and we're in the dispensation of grace, right? But we want to see God, that he's consistent in the old as well as the new, and he does not change. Excuse me. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. But you don't have a pastor. You don't belong to a church. So since the Lord says he's going to work through shepherds, okay, who's going to lead you with knowledge and understanding, then if you don't have a pastor, you're not being led with knowledge and understanding. You're doing your own thing. You're telling God, I don't need no pastor. I will lead myself, okay, to knowledge and understanding. No, you need a church. Listen to what the Lord says in the New Testament. We're back in Ephesians now. We're at verse 11. So Christ himself, right, not the Pope, not your pastor, not the bishop, but Christ himself gave what? Apostles. In short, without doing a teaching on apostles, apostles are church planters. They don't pastor churches. They don't run around with big old giant hats. Could you imagine Paul, an apostle, or even Barnabas, an apostle? Could you imagine them running around with a big old giant hat on their head, look like a church on top of their head, and a big old giant gold cane with gold rings on and a big old giant long robe trying to go around and plant churches? They didn't dress like that. And they didn't run around sitting in churches talking about, I'm an apostle, I'm a pastor, I'm all of it. I'm a prophet, I'm everything. No, Christ him gave the apostles. And when you look in the Bible, you see that apostles planted churches, and they kept it moving. And they didn't try to plant a church where a church already existed. Paul says in Romans 16, I don't do that. I want to go where Jesus ain't. and put a church there. It wasn't no church in Ephesus. Paul put one there. And so he wrote these words to them. The Lord gave us church planters. Excuse me. The Lord gave us prophets. Real quick, let me give you some education on prophets and how they work. Take your biblical and go to Acts chapter 20. Let me tell you this before we even read this. The Lord, amen, go to Acts chapter 20, and I think it's in verse 23. Amen. I want to show you how prophecy works. And know if you're listening to a fake prophet who just claimed to be one, or if the Lord sent them. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 23, you hear the Lord say to Paul, he says, I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. So clearly, the Lord told him that in prison, in every city where he's going, hardships are awaiting him, right? Prison and hardships. Now, the Lord went to Paul first. Now, watch this. When you turn over to Acts chapter 21, something else happens. Look at Acts chapter 21. And look at start at verse 10. After we had been there a number of days, and he is at Philip's house, he had the four daughters who did prophesy, one of the seven that was chosen to be some of the first deacons in the church. He says, after we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. Now, who showed up first, the prophet or the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit showed up first. So God will send a prophet, okay, a modern-day New Testament prophet, and that New Testament prophet is going to prophesy what the Lord already said to you. If the prophet comes and tells you, without the Lord saying anything to you, that this thing is going to happen, the only way that you'll know if that prophet is true or false is if it happens. And if it don't, they're a fake prophet. Then he talks about evangelists. Evangelists are like Billy Graham or like Billy Sunday, okay? Some of the first well-known evangelists as far back as the 1901, right? When evangelism really broke out with John Wesley, George Whitefield, George Whitefield and George Wesley, okay? George Wesley is John Wesley's brother, the founder of the Methodist Church. He is the one that made a whole lot of the songs that we sing today in church. He is the writer of those songs. We've modernized them, but the words are the same. Amen. And as far as back as 1742, when what's called a Great Awakening happened here in America, real revival, unsaved people coming to Jesus. Jesus lifted up and drawing people in, mostly Indians and black folks. Amen. Lasted until 1865, and that's when some of your black pastors started showing up in churches. Most fell along the lines of Baptist, Methodist, Quakers, and Catholic, some Catholic. Amen. That's why you see a whole lot of black folks are Catholic who come from the South, right? It all depends on where these people planted those churches, and the ones who were abolitionists are the ones that black folks migrated to. But evangelists, they may have a church home, but they don't pastor churches. And when they go preach somewhere, they preach to unsaved people, not an arena full of saved people. Like Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists of our time. Amen. And then last on the list to help Christians mature are pastors and teachers. And what are their jobs? The pastor who teaches, what is his job in the local church? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants. Uh-oh, there's that word again. Paul used it over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, mere infants. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning of the craftiness of people in their scheming. Now, as we go back, amen, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, navigate our way back there. Now you see what Paul is doing here. He's explaining to them that they are immature because they don't have any word in them. Christians who don't have no word in them tend to act like these people. They're saved, but they act the same way they did when they were not saved. It's like it's no difference. That's why some of our family members don't even believe we saved when we tell them we saved. Why? Because they don't see no difference in us. There ought to be some difference. If you cuss every 5 minutes when you were unsaved, then you ought to be cussing every 3 minutes. There ought to be some progress. Not, you ain't still cussing every 5 minutes, every other word. Now it ought to be every other 10 words. There ought to be some progress. There ought to be some growth. But growth happens. My pastor, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr., says, you only know Jesus as well as you know his word. Now ask yourself, how well do you know Jesus? Thank God the Lord don't have no tests like this. Quote five verses without opening your Bible and you can come into heaven. Quote five verses in front of Jesus right now. Quote five verses. Brothers and sisters, that's sad. That is sad. They're around here trying to worship Paul. See, they're trying to live their life through some human being. I don't know. I don't know if it was just something wrong with me, but I've never had no super pastor who I said, oh, I'm going to see them. I can't wait till they come to town. I'm going to see. I've never had that. I wake up in the morning wanting to hear Jesus. But I do listen and learn from a lot of the people that Jesus have raised up and made teachers because I need to be taught. I don't need to be told none of that, that retarded Christianity where you're chasing after things and all of this stuff. I seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and the Lord adds to me the stuff I want, the things I want to do, the places I want to go. He adds that to me. Paul says, by the grace given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. This is what you heard Deaconess June Rogers read, and here's a problem, y'all. All of us are building on the foundation that Jesus laid. We can't lay another foundation. You cannot lay a brand new foundation. We build on top of what Jesus started. Jesus started it. He passed the baton to us. Now we run it. We're building. Paul came to the church in Corinth and planted a church. He came to Corinth and planted the church, and he appointed a pastor. So the person who is building on the foundation he laid is that pastor. Okay? It's not a brand new foundation. See, that's what whack preachers and whack Bible teachers try to do to find space for themselves. I got a brand new message. I got a new revelation from the Lord. Jesus just gave me this for you. You got to come out and get this. Really? I can open up my Bible and get anything you claim you got. And if I can't get out of my Bible what you claim you got, what you got, you can keep. Amen? So Paul is saying to them, look, we're all building. Jesus, look, in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, after you get saved, are you saved? Okay, then you have the Holy Spirit. You have the power to build. You have the power to lead somebody to Christ, the power to teach somebody in Christ, the power to help somebody in or outside the body of Christ. And if you're doing that, then you're building with gold, silver, and costly stones. But if all you do is you're just glad to be saved and you ain't even hardly building nothing, you're building with wood, hay, and straw. If you're not using the word of God to build up the kingdom of God, then you're using wood, hay, and straw, which does nothing to build up the kingdom of God. And guess what, y'all? Every one of us, go with me as I come to a close. Go with me to 2 Corinthians and go to chapter 5. Oh, yeah, don't be scared of this because this is what we're looking forward to. I'm at verse 5 or verse 6, and it simply says, therefore, as we always have confidence, we're always confident, and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. Faith is knowing what God said and doing it. we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. Now, here's what you want to hear. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Now, as we rush back over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, listen to what Paul says. Amen. If anyone builds on this foundation, verse 12, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Now, these folks are already saved. You saved, unsaved, we saved. We're talking about our work that we do for Christ while we're alive on this earth. Only what you do, old folks say, let me get in there, Pastor. Come on in, old folks. Old folks told me to tell y'all, only what you do for Christ gonna last. Everything else getting burnt up. He says, if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet be saved, even though as one escaping through the fire. I do not want to be the one standing in the line for rewards that Jesus, you know, we got to go stand before Jesus to receive rewards for the work we did for him, get our paycheck for this life's crap. Amen, all we went through. See, Jesus, he gave up his life, okay, so that he could be seated at the right hand of the Father. And so he gave it up and he got that. Well, he has made certain promises to us in Luke 16. Without going there, he says, use everything I give you, worldly wealth, to make friends for yourselves. That means being charitable. And he says, then when it's gone, that means when you die, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Don't you want to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over that little bit of stuff I gave you. Come on and enter into your master's joy. I'm going to make you master over many things. And guess what? You're going to be master over many things forever. You ain't even master over the stuff we got temporarily. But the Lord wants to give us stuff to master forever. Think about that. Do you want everything you have to be temporary, or do you want it to be forever? Jesus said, excuse me, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, because what? Rust will get it, thieves will get it, or moths will eat it up. But he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Moths won't eat it. Thieves can't steal it. Amen. And it won't rust out. It won't deteriorate. Everything we have here falls apart. But everything we get there, you read Luke 16, he says he'll give you, amen, treasure you get to keep. Because everything we have here is to be used in his service to get everything we want there. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to close right here, and we're going to pick it up again next week. Well, not next week, because next week I believe Pastor Jonathan Tate will be preaching. But when we go back to church, March 5th, River Rouge, amen, what you hear more about in the announcements, we're going to pick this up again. Amen. Amen. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, because from it we learned that we need to grow up, that you literally expect us to mature, and you set up a system to mature us. It's called the local church. In there, Father, we have pastors who teach. In there, we have gifted teachers who teach. In there, Father, we get to collectively commiserate with one another so we can strengthen one another in the Lord. And when we go down from that place, we go down strengthened so that we can go back into the battle and win. Because, Lord, you're a winner, not a loser. Help us, Jesus, to grow up and become all that you have called us to be. Lord God, our Father, you said when you, before Jeremiah was even born, you said you knew him. You said that you sanctified him, set him apart for your service. You said that you ordained him to be something for you. Help us, Father, to be that for you. In Jesus' name, don't let us come home immature. Let us grow up. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right. Amen. I'm not going to touch nothing Pastor O said. Amen. A lot of word there. Just so much word there. We just going to let it be. We had some black coffee served up to us today, and we just going to drink it and let it be. I know one person for sure that drink black coffee, and that's Pastor Janice Tate, but we got all going to be drinking that today. Okay, coffee today. So, Pastor, I need you to get some water or something, bring that heart rate down, and I'm going to do announcements. Amen. So, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. Just by way of a couple of announcements for you. Blog Talk Radio Saturday Church School is, of course, on Saturdays at 9 a.m. Our Blog Talk Radio Saturday Worship Service is, of course, on Saturdays at 10 a.m. And we will have one more Blog Talk Radio Sunday Worship Service, which will be next Sunday at 10 a.m. That's going to be the last one because beginning Sunday, March 5th, I feel like Pastor was preaching and about to get all in my announcements. Amen. Sunday, March 5th. We're going to be back having our in-person worship services. Amen. So we all got to get up, get woke, and put some clothes on and, you know, actually not come to church in our pajamas. But if you have pajamas on, hey, it is come as you are. We don't care about your pajamas as long as you're naked coming in church. Put your pajamas on if that's what you need to do to transition, you know, because we're all comfortable and it's been nice and warm in the house and stuff like that. So we got to get up, though, all right? So we all get used to being in and being on Blog Talk, but there really is nothing like worshiping with one another, because that first song that Pastor plays today, Hallelujah, You're Worthy, now, they know that's my jam. I heard Oliver in my head singing his part, too. Like, we all was just, I got a couple text messages, like, the song is on, so, you know, it's nothing like singing with one another and worshiping in person with one another, so we are most definitely looking forward to that. So, again, Sunday, March 5th, we're going to have our in-person worship services starting back up again, beginning at 10 a.m., but we will be at River Rouge High School, okay, in the LGI auditorium. The address for the school is 1460 West Coolidge in River Rouge. Pastor has sent the address as, along with directions. So from whatever direction you're coming from, it tells you exactly how to get to the school and to the auditorium. So if you're directionally challenged like I am, please make sure you use those directions. So again, Pastor did send them out March 5th in person, River Rouge High School, LGI Auditorium, 10 a.m., 1460 West Coolidge, River Rouge. Like they used to say back in the day, be there or be square. Amen. All right. So Mondays at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio, we will continue with our class on 2 Peter. Read chapter 5 in the book by Charlie Avila. Pastor O, and I forgot to mention this yesterday, but Pastor O did mention it. There were a set of questions that were sent by Pastor O earlier this week that go in conjunction with chapter 5 in the book. So again, please check your email, read chapter 5 in the book, and answer those questions. This is a chapter that I have been asked to stress. Okay, the importance of the church family to read, because it speaks about false teachers, okay, and the judgments of God. So he mentioned about false teachers today in the sermon. So chapter 5, if you haven't read any other chapters in the book, start at chapter 5, go backwards, and then you'll be caught up, then you move forward. Okay, so speaking about false teachers and the judgments of God, it really explains a lot of the downfalls and destruction of what's happening and what we're seeing today. So it's a really deep, essential, and really important chapter. So please, please read it. Get the questions printed off. I believe Pastor O said that they are on the church website as well. So read chapter 5, get the questions, answer them, and then be ready for discussion on tomorrow. Amen. Don't forget, every Tuesday, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Every Wednesday, 6 p.m., Bible reading class here on Blog Talk Radio. Deacon Eric Reed is teaching Ezekiel. I believe, chapters 21 to 25. The questions were already emailed. They're also on our church website, rfcm.org, if you need them to participate. Every Friday, 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn with Bring Back the Family on Blog Talk Radio. Every Saturday at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breaker Ministries has a women's Bible class, which is taught by Pastor Janice Tate. She is also the president of Bondage Breaker Ministries. And so if you would like to participate in her women's Bible class, please just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources, and click on Bondage Breaker Ministries, and you will get the information you need to participate in the women's Bible class. Amen? If you'd like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, rfcm.org is where you will go. Click on the tithes and offerings tab. Pastor, usually, like I say, when he preaches, he does not like an offering taken up for him, but if you would still like to give a love offering to Pastor O, you can do it through our church website, rsgm.org. Pastor O has his own website, www.pastorgmo.com, if you would like to give an offering to him there as well. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with everyone else that we're enabled to help through your consistent and generous giving throughout the year. Amen. Don't forget, again, to go to our church website and share it, rfcm.org. There's jobs, resources, classes, services, everything that has ever been done at Run for Christ on Blog Talk Radio, going back to 2009, is on the church website, amen, rfcm.org. Click on the Blog Talk tab. You can go all the way back to 09, like I've said before, when it was just Pastor and his Bible doing what the Bible says, 2 hours every day for a very, very, very long time, years, okay, before we all started finding our places and our spaces and getting in there where we fit in and helping Pastor O out. So it's come a long way. So just make sure to check the website for yourself. And just if you don't need anything or whatever the case may be, just share it with others. Go on your social media and just put rfcm.org on there. Like I say all the time, people click on links for other stuff. People clicking on links all the time, text message links, spam links, everything. So this would be a positive link to put out there because somebody click on it, they're going to get them some Jesus or a job or something. Okay, so just share the church website is basically what I'm trying to say. Amen. Amen. So we always want to shout out our mothers that run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia. Good morning to you all. We love you. We always, you know, in the church building had at least one of them holding it down for all of them. We know Sundays it's easy for them to call in to Blog Talk Radio. So we know we've got at least one listening, if not all of them. So we always want to say good morning to them and that we love them. And so just keep making time to call or text or email one another, whatever it is that you do to check up on folks, especially until we get back in the church building. Just keep reaching out to people. If you still, you know, want to send a card or whatever the case may be and just need someone's information, you can always reach out to Sheila and she will make sure to get you information to any of our members. Amen. So continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Of course, even though we're going back in person, we're not going to be in the church building that we're used to being in. It is being fixed up and done up. So please continue to pray for the reconstruction of our church building. Also continue to pray for Nico Gaston, Nicole Seabrooks, Deacon Rayfield Rogers, Doris Gaither, again, all of our mothers, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia. Continue to pray for Keila Freeman, as well as Ed Johnson. Also, please continue to keep Sheila's brother, Dwayne, in your prayers. Pray for our president, vice president, all of the leaders of our country and our individual communities, all of our children and our young adults. I mean, my God, that goes without saying. Also, don't forget to pray for one another that you know personally, and of course, pray for yourself. The biggest thing is to just continue to pray for all of those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving. Okay, that is just something that just seems like it's grief and tragedy, just seems like it's overshadowing everything else that's going on. Okay, so just continue to pray for those who lost their loved ones in that earthquake in Turkey and Syria. But even more so close to home for us here in Michigan, the mass shooting that happened at MSU. You know, like I said yesterday, my son has a lot of friends who he graduated with, and a lot of them attend MSU. And he came to me and told me there's a shooting at MSU. And I'm like, wait a minute, have you talked to your friends? What's going on? Luckily, you know, they made it out safely, but we have three families who lost their children. Okay. And then you have other families, I think five or six other families whose children were injured and had to have surgeries. But then you have the ginormous trauma and loss that all of us feel when things like that happen. This was close to home for us, but I think we feel it no matter where it happens, whether it was at the grocery store in New York or in Texas at the elementary school or, you know, wherever it happens as a people and as a world, we feel that. And it's just like it's one hit after the other hit after the other hit. But again, the Lord is not going to fix what's going on. Okay, the time has come for his grace is running out. Okay, and like Pastor Jonathan said, I said all the time, he say time ain't long. We don't have time to be playing around. And so while we can't fix everything that's going on in the world, the one thing that we can do is fix ourselves and fix ourselves to fix our eyes on Jesus and what it is that he has us doing with the time that we have here. Okay, so please just continue to keep everyone lifted up in prayer. Because, again, we're all affected by these things that happen, not even, you know, close by, but all around the world. So please lift up the students and parents and the teachers, of course, and the faculty, lift it up in prayer, as well as the family of the person who did what he did. Okay, God loves all of us, and none of us are perfect, and we all fall short. But just like Pastor O mentioned today, we all are going to have to give an account of the things that we have done in this life and in this body, Christian or not. Okay, so we do still have a responsibility as Christians to be mature and to pray for those who do evil. Okay, none of us are perfect, but we as people categorize one another to say we better than one. I didn't kill nobody, but I lie every day. Okay, so we categorize each other just so that we don't look as bad as other people. But God sees us all as equal, okay? He's not a respecter of person. And so we need to take on that same attitude and realize that there was a shortfall in that person's life as well to make them do what they did. And at the end of the day, we have a responsibility to not only pray for that person, but for their family because it hits very close to them as well, okay? So we got to be mature. We got to grow up. We can't be petty. And we got to pray for everybody, whether we care about what they did or not. Amen? Amen. So I also want to mention as a bereavement announcement to please keep in prayer Deacon Oliver and Deaconess Loretta Welch in the loss of their daughter-in-law. Okay, so that one, again, hits close to home for us. We know them. We know them personally. We love them, and we just want to let them know that we are keeping them in our prayers. Amen? Amen. So on a happier note, happy birthday again to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who have celebrated this past week or are celebrating today. I got two on my list for February, even though I know of some other RFCM members that got birthdays in February, but it's okay. If you want to keep it between you and Jesus, that's no problem. Amen. So happy birthday to Mother Marilyn, who celebrated her birthday on the 7th, and to Dr. Nico Gaston, who is going to be celebrating her birthday on the 21st. Amen. Happy birthday to you all. And last but not least is your devotional for today. And it is entitled, Our Heavenly Father's Unconditional Love. And this is by Dr. Charles Stanley, and he's from In Touch Ministries. Scripture tells us that love is the very essence of who God is, and that's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. So if you don't believe that he loves you unconditionally, you'll never really know him or have genuine peace about your relationship with him. So how do you define love? It is Jesus unselfishly reaching out to mankind, giving himself to us, and bringing good into our life, regardless of whether or not we accept him. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that his care and concern are so immeasurable that he laid down his life for us while we were still his enemies. In fact, the Bible says that he first began to express his love towards us before the foundation of the world, and that's in Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 5, that means your actions had absolutely nothing to do with his love for you. God's commitment to us has absolutely no conditions or restrictions and isn't based on whether we love him back, nor does he have more love for, quote, good people who may strike us as more worthy. He loves us even in our sin, even when we don't repent. Does that give us a license to obey? Absolutely not. It gives us the power to live holy lives, walk obediently with him, and learn to love him the way he deserves. To follow him is to receive the love he has been offering all along. Every single moment, whether awake or asleep, we all live under the canopy of the Lord's wondrous, absolute love for us. But to fully experience that love, you must receive it. Say yes to this amazing gift that God wants to pour out on you. Bask in it and let it overflow to those around you. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. Let it overflow to those around you. Okay, I got like 50 bills I can't pay. I'm going to let some of them overflow to you.
What okay. You mean? So yours going to overflow to mine, and then them ours going to overflow together on somebody else's. I mean, we keep it going, okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Crystal. I
Amen.
Appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome. Absolutely.
We all appreciate you. Thank you, Tell Mary.
Absolutely.
We say what's up. All
I
righty.
Sure will.
Let me get
Amen.
Some voice back.
Amen.
Amen. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you who tune in. Look, don't let the devil rob you. Don't let him play you like a joke. Don't be in the church 50, 11 dozen years and you ain't never read the whole New Testament. Get to know God's word. See, you're trying to know things that's going to do you no good when you get to heaven. How much money you got? What kind of house you got? What kind of letters behind your name? Well, none of that means nothing in heaven, okay? There was a rich young ruler who rode up to Jesus, okay? And none of that meant nothing, and he had everything and rode off with everything except eternal life. So don't let the devil play you like a silly joke, okay? He keep coming up with reasons why, you know, giving you excuses why you don't have to go to Bible class, you don't have to teach your kids the Bible, you don't have to see to it your kids get a Christian education, you as a husband, you as a wife don't have to know God's plan for marriage. The devil is playing you like a joke. He cannot just outright kill you, but he will get permission slips to do you like he did Job. And if he can keep you toe up from the flow up, that's all he want to do is make sure that you don't grow up. Amen? That you don't become a problem for him. Immature Christians are not a problem for the devil. They usually have a problem with the devil because they don't know how to fight back. Okay? But Jesus gave us our armor in Ephesians chapter 6. And you can't even name the different parts. Brothers and sisters, don't let the devil, look, you've been in the church too long to keep saying, I can't read, I can't study, I can't go to Bible class, I'm busy. Do you know you're going to die one day? And you're going to be standing right there in front of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's going to have big stacks of money in his hand. And he's going to ask you, how much do I owe you for the work you did for me? So, brothers and sisters, make sure that all the stuff you're doing in life, it's not just for life, but for eternal life. Do what Jesus said. You're going to heaven, okay? You're not staying here. And Jesus ain't impressed with how many times you go to the club, how many trips you go on, what kind of clothes you got, what kind of car you drive, what house you live in. He gave you all that, but he didn't give you all of that to take you from him. And you come to heaven, you got saved, you was one. You get to heaven, you still one. Paul planted this church in Corinth 5 years ago. And then he writes this letter to them, telling them, you're mere infants. Amen. Don't let that happen to you, brothers. Don't let that happen to you, sister. Don't let that happen to your children. Don't let it happen to your personal life, your family life, your church life, or your civic life. Get it all together. Walk in the anointing. You have the anointing. You have the power. His name is Holy Spirit. And he is here to effect the will of God on earth through you. So it is the will of Christ being done on earth by the power of the Holy Spirit through you, through me, through us. Amen? So, brothers and sisters, let's turn up for Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace until we all meet again. The whole church said, amen.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there. Beyond the sky, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down.